One of the problems that's arisen in each disaster is that there's a sequencing issue to do with land. And the sequencing issue is this, and this relates specifically to shelter. First, in order to build durable forms of shelter, most housing providers, shelter providers, need to know that they're building in the right place for the right person. So there's a sort of documentation, tenure documentation there, unless you just ignore that issue, which is a mistake. But to get the tenure documentation, as I said before, is a potential source of delay. People sit around in the temporary shelters, emergency shelters, and they don't have tenure documentation to allow them to return to get a house. And I talked about mechanisms to have intermediate, urgent, emergency tenure documentation mechanisms, because formal mechanisms will be too slow. The other sequencing problem is land use planning, which is your no-build zone problem. And for me, this is a critical issue that has been mishandled. Even in a place like New Orleans, that got what's called plandemonium, because there was zoning, urban planning taking place at all these different levels. And on one level, you've got sort of the disaster risk reduction Nazis who say that you've got to shrink the footprint and you've got to have best practice buffer zones and no-build zones. And then on the other hand, you've got the more humanitarian perspectives, which is, well, you know, we can't sit around for 3 years while you develop a no-build zone policy and identify land for relocation. And my very strong view is that I'm in the humanitarian camp, is that these this land use plan Build Back Better is actually needs to be rethought, because in a post-disaster context, it is causing more trouble than it's worth. And we need to have ex-ante measures to incorporate disaster risk reduction before the disaster hits, not while you're doing your humanitarian and early recovery measures. And Philippines is learning this the hard way. And so we've got some proposals in there about land audits and identifying land. And, you know, this idea of doing a hazard assessment on land before people can return to determine the no-build zone. It's absolute madness, and Victoria alluded to that fact. It would take years in these sorts of contexts, unless there's a very strong international push which may arise, as she said, with the AusAid involvement. You know, sequencing land can really stuff up your shelter program, and that's the key message. I'll just say two summary points. One is that in Aceh there was a process where there were signed affidavits of ownership, which were the village head, which was like the barangay captain in the Philippines, would witness. And then there was a regulation that gave those a legal status. They were very effective in getting people back into durable shelter quickly, the signed affidavits of ownership. But it needed a specific regulation to do it and a process to do it. Now, what happened was that these documents were different from the pre-disaster documentation, so they didn't integrate with the formal system of land titling in the end, despite all the objectives. But that was okay in my point of view. At least people got, you know, Aceh is a success story in shelter terms. So I just wanted to use that as an example of urgent shelter. The second point is that you have to have dedicated rental housing and social housing programs. So in Aceh, ADB had a program where they would rebuild rental housing for the owner on condition that they allowed the previous tenant back into the house rent-free for a five-year period. Unless you have specific rental housing programs, the renters stay in the barracks. They've got nowhere to go, because rents go through the roof in these contexts. So the two summary points about rental housing and emergency tenant. And then I'll just conclude with the gender point. Is that there's just no question that because after disaster you tend to get tenure documentation measures, shelter providers need documents. And yet all the empirical evidence is that tenure documentation disadvantages women. And unless you upload that into the design of your tenure documentation program, it will have discriminatory gender effects. And again, I'm not seeing that playing out in this current natural disaster context. So there's a lot more in the guidelines on those issues, and I thought I'd just give them a little part. Thank you.